Hello and welcome to An Abundance of Not. I am your host, Garrett, joined this week with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And it is January the 27th, 2016, and I have tequila.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah, you guys weren't privileged to that in the green room, were you?
No.
Told you to get whiskey. I warned you.
Buckle in, folks. This is going to be a nod one.
No. We'll be just as vulgar and as appropriate as we've been for the last few weeks. It'll be fine.
Vulgar and appropriate? What?
And inappropriate.
Okay, there we go. That's what I heard. Something different. All right.
Apparently. Get those ears checked. New headphones.
That's it.
Yeah. Birthday's coming up. Yeah. You want to?
No, not really.
Everybody go to Wade's GoFundMe page.
Don't I wish?
Patreon.
Nope.
Patreon.
Never opened a freaking Patreon.
A lot of people do it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't really know the stipulations behind it. I'm sure it's kind of a donations thing and they take a small percentage or something, but
probably. I think it's like a monthly thing too.
Is it?
Yeah, it's more of a subscription.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's a few people on YouTube that I've seen, and they've advertised their Patreon page, and I've never, you know, looking into it. I heard about it. I thought, oh, I mean, it sounds interesting, but I never did anything beyond that. So, how you guys doing?
Well, they would like you to check out their Patreon page.
I bet they would.
We're doing good, apparently.
Doing well. You've been traveling a little bit this week, Brad.
I have been traveling. Whirlwind tour. Two states and two cities in 2 days.
Wee-hee.
One epic night of rock.
I want a rock! Well, that sounds exciting. You haven't done that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's been kind of a slow start to the year, but starting to get back into it.
Well, the next week you're going to be out this way, but due to scheduling conflicts, we may not have a podcast. If we do, it will be without Brad.
Yes, it will.
More on that at 11.
Usually have to lock him away in the cage for a while.
That's right. You got to get him acclimated to the climate.
He's like, oh, God, what is that bright yellow ball?
Speaking of climate, we had a hell of a snowstorm blow through last week.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I know D.C. had quite a hit, but I wasn't sure about you guys.
Yeah, we were part of that whole week. We were on the south end of that exact same snowstorm.
Really? You weren't on the north end of the one that hit D.C.?
I know, right? Didn't see that coming.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the entire northern half of the state was shut down. State of emergency. We ended up with like an eighth of an inch of snow.
An eighth of an inch. That sounds like California when like 3 drops of rain come down. Oh my God, park the car. We're not going anywhere.
Exactly. Flash flood.
Oh, man.
We're sitting up going, thank you, Great Spirit.
I mean, you know what? It was really serious, though. I mean, we got an eighth of an inch of snow. It was overnight, and it lasted until like 10 o'clock in the morning before it all melted. It was horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Couldn't even get milk at the grocery stores. God.
I thought it was the end of the world.
We were going to put stuff in the fridge, but then we realized we could leave it out on the porch overnight. We'd be fine.
I know.
I have to say, when we were in New York, though, back in February, that was one of those weird things. It's like you realize... And it's like going to those ice bars or whatever in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're so used to, at least we are in California, that ice just melts. The property of ice is that it melts. Until you're in some climate or environment or these ice bars where it's like, it's not melting. Well, why is it not melting? It should be melting. The fuck's going on?
I'm supposed to do this.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a certain, it's fucking cold. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Not just cold.
So the opposite end of that, though, that was over the weekend. My first stop on my tour this week was New York. So I did actually get to see the real stuff. You know, they got 2 feet of snow.
Yeah, I got a guy I talked to in D.C., or outskirts of D.C., and they had a good couple feet of snow to the point where it weighed a couple trees down so much they fell over in his backyard.
Yep.
So as it starts to melt a little bit, he's got to go out with a chainsaw and hack that stuff up. Tell you what, you can keep that shit.
I tell you, though, it's interesting to see. You can tell, driving along the streets, the neighbors that don't get along with the neighbors. Because 2 feet of snow, they'll come out and shovel their car out. And you shovel it into the road. That way, when the snowplow comes along, it plows it into your neighbor's car and they get snowed in.
Beautiful.
And by that time, it's, you know, that black, nasty...
Oh, yeah.
Gross snow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll deal with the ground shaking occasionally in order to not deal with that bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's see, what happened this past week? I donated my computer to my daughter. She used...
Did you get a tax receipt?
No, she said she was all out of those. I gotta file a complaint with my accountant.
Yeah, yeah. Stay on that.
Isn't that tax deductible?
Only exactly. With a receipt.
Only with a receipt.
And she said she was out of receipts, so I gotta, figure that out.
You gotta file an N6349 form, and then...
Okay, that would have been really funny if you knew the actual form number. I would have really appreciated that.
Too bad.
I know. But so she had some money left over from an Amazon item return. And so she used that to get... We got a used Dell monitor that's definitely used. It's not just a refurbished at a good price. Screen's got some blemishes on it. There's one spot in the bottom that is black due to damage. But, you know, small enough to where when you only paid $50 for it, it's something you'll tolerate. And we got that fully set up for her last night. But because of everything going on our normal Tuesday night routine, she hasn't been able to play it with it at all.
Aww.
And I don't think she'll have time to play with it at all tomorrow night either, due to our Thursday night routine.
She was on it, like, a little bit. I saw her playing Minecraft on it.
Yeah, she was on it for, like maybe 15 minutes before our Tuesday night show was on. So that was... I thought it was funny. I'm sure she was bummed.
Yeah.
But she now has her own computer, and with recording software, now she just needs a webcam and a microphone. And she can maybe... I might have her do, like, video journal type things. Her own little private vlogs.
Day 73.
That's right. They haven't noticed me yet.
Successfully. Dad still won't give me candy for dinner.
I'm about ready to call Mom. So, that's got going on. The weekend was very tame. We didn't really do much of anything. Saturday, we just ran some errands. I had martial arts. My daughter and I had martial arts testing. I stressed my left foot a little bit, but it's pretty much fine now. Aside from that, all went well, and another day in the life, I suppose. This weekend, the daughter, she competes. I say compete. She does these projects at school that are called Reflections, and I don't know if they're exclusively photography projects, but they're some sort of creative project that deals with visuals, you know, visual stuff. Well, she's done it for a couple of years now, and this year her stuff has progressed to the regional level.
Nice.
So there's a pseudo type of art gallery deal this weekend for the, I guess, the general region, education region for Southern California. And they will announce the candidates, so to speak, that progress to the state level at this gallery this Saturday. So that's pretty exciting for her. You know, it's something that she and her mom have done. But, you know, she's done it well enough to the point to be at this stage. So pretty cool.
Yep, that's awesome. We went and played with snakes.
Oh, I saw something about that. Tell me more about that.
So there's a nature preserve kind of deal. I'm trying to think of the right wording for it. It's a habitat preserve. About an hour away from where we live, and they had a reptile rescue come in, and they brought snakes and a baby alligator.
I better get those right. Those crocodiles and alligators, they don't appreciate
that kind of
slander.
No, you don't mix them up. They get pissed off. Yeah.
Because they're so happy to begin with.
Right. it was a whole show, for lack of a better word, demonstration on the local snakes, how to identify them. Most of the snakes here are non-venomous, but there are a couple venomous ones, so he had those as part of the show, so you could identify, learn, you know, the markings and how to identify them.
What are the species of venomous snakes out there?
The two main ones are copperheads and cottonmouths.
Okay. I figured the cottonmouth was in there.
Yep. We do have some rattlesnakes as well.
Do you? Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Thought those were fairly exclusive desert, but...
No, there's, we have timber rattlesnakes.
Okay.
So.
I have heard of them.
I guess that's the main ones, though. The rest of them around here are non-venomous.
What's the primary species out there? Predominant, or the most popular one that's come across?
No idea.
I figured they would have said, like, if you see a snake, it's most likely X, although it can be Y or Z.
Right. No. No. But the kids did get to hold the alligator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They got some photos with the alligator holding it with its mouth taped shut.
Yeah. Small caveat, but yeah, that's pretty typical.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do still have liability to take into account.
Yeah, right. Can't have anyone losing a finger.
Right. So.
We've had our fair share of reptiles as pets. We've had a couple of desert tortoises that one was given to us, and I forget where we got the first one at, but I think one was like essentially found on the side of the road, which was strange. We've had box turtles. We've had two California king snakes, which are constrictors and non-venomous. A bearded dragon. And is there anything else, Wade, that we had in the reptile?
I
think that about does it.
I had another snake. Like, it was a wild one that, like, was brought over once. I don't know what happened to it. I think we just released it somewhere.
Well, Dad used to bring home, like, gopher snakes and stuff like that from work every once in a while.
It was something. It was a brown snake, so probably.
Yeah, it's probably just a gopher snake or something like that. I'll say there's not many pets out there that are as easy to quote unquote care for than a reptile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to. I mean, the more you handle them, the more, you know, tame they get. With a snake, especially the constrictors, they only eat like once a month. They take so long to digest everything fully. As long as you got a hot area and a cool area of the cage, they can self-regulate their temperature. They've got water to potentially shed when they do. That's the extent of it. It's pretty basic.
How easy was the bearded dragon to work with?
Bearded dragon was pretty goddamn easy to deal with. They are.
You took him to school.
I did. I hit him inside. I hit her in the pocket of my sweatshirt and took her to school a couple of times. And they're so docile. And she just sat there. And I had a marine biology class. The teacher knew I was doing it. And, you know, I'd bring her in for that. But I will say, though, with a bearded dragon, I never thought digested cricket or mealworms could smell so bad.
Yep.
That's a fragrance, man. But, reptiles are great pets for kids because it kind of eases them into the responsibility of pet ownership without something that is so demanding that if they don't do it, there's catastrophic, you know, effects.
Sure.
So, anyway.
Like a bird.
Yeah, well, no, not like a bird. Birds are a pain in the ass. Don't get your kid a bird. Anyway, Wade, what about you? Anything else to add on to with what's going on?
I finally got my forge built. That's okay.
I got ghosts in the garage. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I finally got the forge built, so I'm probably going to test fire that whenever I have a day off with everyone here, just for safety precautions. Now, unfortunately, I will not have Saturday off because I will have Tuesday off, which is February 2nd, my birthday.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So, yeah, we We have some whole plans for that, which is going to be real fun. But, you know, family traditions and everything that go along with it.
Yep. Yeah, so we had talked about there's a Cirque show that I'm pretty sure it's Cirque.
Odisio, it's called.
It's called Odisio Cavalia, but it's a lot like a Cirque show.
It's like a lot. It's from what I read, it's very horse oriented. There's like 70 horses in this production.
Yes.
So
Odisseia the equestrian deal. Oh, that's not awesome. Apologize for the sound in the recording. That was Odisseia's sound when you go to the website, apparently. But it's essentially appears to be some sort of Cirque show. It's set up on the side of the freeway. We had talked about it since my daughter's birthday is right around the corner, too, that we're going to do that as a birthday thing for the two of these Aquariuses.
Aquarii. It's a two birds with one stone mentality. She gets to see a bunch of horses, and I get to go see something actually artful.
Yeah. I've seen a Cirque show.
You've been needing that.
He has. He needs, yeah, we need to culture this swine. So yeah, that's coming up. We haven't got tickets yet for it, but tickets are expensive, man. Like the front end seats are like $250 a head. The next step down is one and change.
For a roadside show?
Yeah. quote unquote nosebleeds are like $55 a head, and then they have a few sections that's classified as an obstructed view. Yep. But $35 a head.
In short, wow. You'll need a telescope to see it.
No, I mean, you're going to be close enough to the stage.
You're going
to
have to look around the tent pole.
Yeah, there's a big tent pole in the way of the cheap seats, so we're trying to figure out what tier we're going to be at to make it worthwhile without completely breaking the bank.
Right.
So. But that's coming up. But I think that about does it. I think we can jump into the movies at this point. Any objections?
None at all.
Movies!
Into the Void!
Movies. All right. Couple movies to speak of. Really only three. And maybe one of them's iffy at that. But number one coming out this week is Kung Fu Panda 3. Slightly surprised, although I'm not sure why, 84% critic rating. So a solid rating there. It is rated PG.
You're
fun
surprised
for the whole film.
It's that high?
I am.
Surprised
I'm, surprised
it's not
I'm surprised it's that high. And I don't know why I'm surprised. I guess, you know, typically sequels don't quite live up. So I guess that's part of it. The voices of Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Kate Hudson, Bryan Cranston, a.k.a. Breaking Bad, Dustin Hoffman, and Jackie Chan, to name a few. 2016, one of the most successful animated franchises in the world returns in its biggest comedy adventure yet, Kung Fu Panda 3, when Po's long-lost panda father suddenly reappears. The reunited duo travel to the secret panda paradise to meet scores of hilarious new panda characters. But when the supernatural villain Kai begins to sweep across China, defeating all the Kung Fu masters, Po must do the impossible. Learn to train a village full of fun-loving, clumsy brethren to become the ultimate band of Kung Fu Pandas. So there you go. Intriguing. I do have the kid this weekend. It's a possibility that we might go see this. I don't know that I definitely haven't loved the Kung Fu series as much as other animated franchises, but they haven't been bad. So, you know, it's kind of go either way with it. Number two this week, coming out this week, is The Finest Hours. This is rated at 53% with the critics. It is PG-13. Featuring Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Casey Affleck, Eric Bana, Josh Stewart, and John Ortiz. Casey Sherman and Michael Tuglis's book detailing the daring 1952 Coast Guard rescue of the New England seaboard, or off the New England seaboard, sorry, comes to screen in the Disney film produced by Jim Whittaker. Take me home tonight.
Whittaker.
That's the name of one of the rights in Game of Thrones.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
It works for me. You should have gone with it. So, yeah. Some of the trailers of this look really, really intense. I guess I'm kind of bummed it's only at 53%. It looks like it visually should command a little bit higher than that, but obviously something's going on with it. Let's see what some of the critics are saying. The movie's all ship, no crew. We get lots of effects, but little emotion. We're awash in spectacle. Car crashes, sinking tankers, storm-tossed boats, but the human element is mostly forgotten. There you go. Too bad. Chris Pine is pretty well-respected actor of the past few years, and bummed that something like that came out.
He couldn't have Scotty beam him up.
No, not this time. Number three this week is a Marlon Williams comedy spinoff, 50 Shades of Black. No critic reviews yet. Spoof from the Wayans Brothers parodies the ultra-popular novel and film, 50 Shades of Grey. It is rated R, no kids at this one. Featuring Mike Epps, Marlon Wayans, Callie Hawk, Jane Seymour, and Andrew Batchelor. I can say with a high degree of certainty this will not be on my to-see list.
Really?
I know, shocker. I saw the Wayans Brothers comedy stand-up in Irvine, and I was just not impressed. And
I actually almost got up from that because I couldn't stand it anymore.
It was pretty extreme, pretty vulgar, and just not awesome. In the box office this week, The Revenant takes in number one spot at $16 million. Star Wars number two at 14.1. Ride Along 2 staying in the top three at 12.5. And Dirty Grandpa pulls in 11.1. I don't know if that had a critic rating last week, but it's at 6% this week, which is depressing. While Star Wars still holds a 93% critic rating.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that's not going away anytime soon. Nothing else to speak of on our end for movies. We did pick up the Cinderella live action DVD to be watched this weekend. And again, we might go see Kung Fu Panda 3, but we'll see how everything plays out. Anybody else have anything else to add?
No.
Fantastic.
Nope. Good here.
To the news.
More security news this week. More depressing security news this week. So we've talked before about the emerging Internet of Things. This is the term being applied to non-traditional internet-connected devices like smart fridges and stoves and microwaves and cameras and things.
They're always watching.
They are. Well, that's part of the problem, though. A flaw has been discovered in a popular brand of internet-connected cameras. And unfortunately, the way the manufacturers have been going, it's a race to the bottom. Clearly these things were expensive when they first came out, and they're trying to bring the prices down. Well, as the prices are coming down, they're having to make compromises, and one of the places they're compromising is in security. There's been some flaws identified in some popular camera products that allow anybody on the internet to do a scan and find cameras that are connected, and there's no security in connecting to them, so anybody anywhere can tap into the camera that you put in your living room.
So, okay, let me just try to understand this. They can tap into the camera itself and access the camera feed, but they're not using the camera as a gateway into your local network. Is that accurate?
Correct. Okay. Yet.
Yet, yeah. Obviously, yet. The caveat with a lot of that stuff is yet. But right now,
yes. It's I remain hopeful.
It's just the fact that the connected camera can be accessed from who knows who, but they're only getting the camera. Now, to some, that's more... more dangerous than anything else, but to others that are a little bit more aware of long-term ramifications, so far it's not as bad as it could be.
Correct. And unfortunately, this is a continuing problem. I mean, in 2013, the FTC sanctioned a webcam manufacturer for not taking security into bigger consideration. But
this
now,
is standalone, like a webcam that's obviously has to be standalone because don't typical ones piggyback off the computers? connection.
Correct.
My camera freaking plugs into the USB.
So this is like a like one of those like Nest style, like kind of remote home security style webcams.
Yeah, it connects to your Wi-Fi or you know, directly to a network connection.
Okay, just making sure that when you say webcam, I'm thinking of the right thing.
Yes, not not the kind that you use on your computer for video conferencing, but you know, something you may set up for convenience that you can log into to, you know, for security.
Yep. Some people use them to watch their kids or watch their dogs or whatever that's going on in the house. Yeah.
Exactly. Some people have used them for baby monitors and things like that.
Yep.
And, you know, that's readily available to anybody. So, I think the whole movement for Internet of Things is inescapable. There are going to be advantages to having things connected. I don't know that the pros outweigh the cons, but I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to be forced upon us. Unfortunately, these manufacturers are not taking security seriously, and it's one of those things of getting into areas that are not their expertise. You know, why would the manufacturer of your microwave be a security expert?
Right.
You don't expect them to be, but now they're starting to meddle in areas that are not their primary concern, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious if devices like Amazon's got, the Echo?
Yes.
And there's a few other kind of personal assistant robotic computer type deals that are internet connected. I wonder how much those have a risk versus, you know, the, like you said, the major appliances that really have no business being online. I mean, what are they going to do? Oh, your milk might expire in the next 2 days. Well, who gives a shit? But yet they are anyway. Which definitely you can see that that's, you know, a potential security risk and clearly has become so.
Well, and it's getting to the point of we're doing things because we can.
Yeah, not because we should.
You know, is there... I suppose the argument could be made for a connected refrigerator that, you know, knows what you put into it, and when you take the milk out and you don't put it back, oh, obviously we need to add milk to your electronic shopping list. But do we need to do that? No.
Now, if you had your refrigerator talk to your Amazon Echo to where it automatically ordered the milk for you.
Ordered the milk and had it delivered via Amazon Prime.
Yep.
There has to be a certain sort of limit to that, because you're getting Amazon Prime freaking deliveries every day, all day.
Pretty much.
Wait. Accidentally leave the milk out. You know, bing bong, we have your milk. Oh, god damn it.
It's still cold on the counter, but a new gallon's on the doorstep. Thank you for using Amazon Echo.
This 1995 would be built here.
Automatically.
That's right. Echo's a pretty cool device, though. I mean, and again, there's other third-party ones that kind of do similar things, but it's kind of an interesting deal. It's not that expensive. It's only a couple $100.
Oh, and I'm having to almost give myself a split personality nowadays with this.
You heard it here.
As
Brad's Echo is giving him a split personality. No, Brad is having insane.
Hey, we're okay, all right? We're okay.
Have you sought out counseling? I hear couples counseling is really beneficial for situations like this.
But there's two sides of this. The technology enthusiast in me is absolutely loving all the things that can be done. And the privacy and security person in me is absolutely freaking out about what we're putting online nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, why have we gotten to the point where your TV comes with terms and conditions that includes the clause that they may at any time record what you're saying and transmit it to their servers? I know, again, with the split personality, from the technology standpoint, it's cool. The TV's listening, and I can talk to it and tell it to turn on and to change channels, and that's awesome. But wait, it's listening all the time. That's creepy.
Yep. Conversations about the Xbox One bringing back, coming back to you now?
Xbox off.
Xbox all the way off. I see all what you're doing the all the way, not part way.
I still see that light. Knock it off.
That's right. Stop go to bed. Blinking that
go
light
to bed.
At me, sadly.
Go to Turn bed. Off. I feel like I'm talking to my 9-year-old all over again.
oh, God.
Yeah, no, it's weird. And I mean, like I said, what's the benefit? I mean, yeah, it's no secret that we, especially in America, are lazy fucks. I mean, if we can get a piece of technology to do anything for us, goddammit, we're going to use that piece of technology. If it means adding an extra step to our routine so that we can use a piece of technology to do something, goddammit, we're gonna make that compromise. Because shit's cool and we're lazy fucks.
Because I don't want to have to put on pants.
That's right. I'm not wearing pants now, but you knew that.
Whoa.
But yeah, to what end now? I mean, we've already had an IP issue from the extreme tech standpoint. We've had to go to a new version of IP addresses because we've used them all.
Wow, we should be good this time for quite a while.
Yeah. Oh, there's the standard IP, the 4-octet IP address way that you're used to seeing, the 192.168.1.1 or whatever. But now we've gone to IPv6 that uses the alphabet and shit. So.
Oh, yay. Yeah. It's like algebra all over again.
Right.
It's IPv6 is hexadecimal.
I still don't know what that means. I've watched The Martian twice now and I still haven't figured out what hexadecimal means.
Okay, so we count in decimal, which is a base of 10.
Yes.
Right? 0 through 9. Hexadecimal is a base of 16. So it's 0 through 15. Well, you can't show 15 without going into, you know, you're in a different significance column.
Sure.
So it's 0 through 9 and then A through F. That's how you get your 15.
I think I'm following.
Stay with me. So IPv4 gives 4.2 billion possible addresses.
Don't do the math, just trust us.
IPv6 gives 3.4 times 10 to the 38.
Well, I know that a quintillion has 18 zeros after it. That's a shit ton of numbers.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting here playing with a Minecraft cat.
Jerk. Yeah. So, we got too much shit on the internet is essentially what it comes down to, but...
Yeah.
All right.
You know, stuff that really doesn't need to be connected. I get the cool factor, but... Do your light bulbs really need to be online?
So that was another question. I realize we're getting really deep down a rabbit hole for no goddamn reason. But those lights that
except
can be controlled...
Except that we fucking can.
Just except that we can, and therefore we are. So those lights that you can control with your phone, it's not like a Bluetooth connection. It's a legitimate 802.11 connection. To your knowledge?
Ish, yes.
Depending on the brand or whatever?
Depending on the brand, they may connect to your actual Wi-Fi. Some of them do their own like ad hoc network where they'll talk to each other. It's not a real connected network, but they talk amongst themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, but some of them are honestly connected to your Wi-Fi network.
Gotcha. Fantastic. I mean, I think it's cool to sit on the couch again and be a lazy fuck, not get up so I can turn the lights on and just grab my phone and go, hey, turn on, and I think I want you to be blue right now, so therefore,
right.
You know, that shit's cool, but again.
Well, and cool things have been done. Again, I see both sides of it. Cool things have been done. You can have... there's software that can create scenes. And there have been companies that will tie into entertainment systems. So you can tell it, I want to watch The Martian. And so it will turn on your Blu-ray player, it'll turn on your TV, it'll dim the lights, and it will tint the lights slightly pinkish so that you're getting a little bit of that Martian red come through. You know, you can do cool things, but do we need to? And we're opening ourselves up to vulnerabilities unnecessarily, just because it's cool and because we don't want to take the extra time to figure out how to do this safely.
When I win the lottery, my home theater will have a touchscreen panel. I will be able to select the movie I want. It will turn everything on, dim the lights appropriately colored, and I will be able to enjoy it. And it will start the popcorn machine.
Oh, awesome.
Because,
I love it.
Because other people eat popcorn. I don't. But it would just be cool.
Wait, how did I not know this?
What? Popcorn?
You don't eat popcorn?
I mean, if it's there, I might grab some, but I don't ever seek popcorn out. After having braces for almost 3 years and you're told you cannot eat popcorn because when you do, it gets stuck in all the wrong places of your mouth.
Okay, but you're also told you're not allowed candy. I'm sure that didn't stop you.
Listen, what my dentist and orthodontist don't know won't hurt them. So I plead the fifth on that one.
You know, this one's going to come out and they're going to slam their, like, fist down on the chest and go, I knew it!
I knew it! Considering I have an appointment next month. Yeah, those fuckers. Anyway. It's just something that I don't really, care to seek out. I mean, again, if it's there, someone's got some, I might grab a handful here and there, but that's about as far as it gets. Listen, on the bright side, more popcorn for everybody else. Okay? Just
yes,
give me the
you.
Red Vines and the Twizzlers, and the world will be fine. Promise.
You got it. You can have them.
Perfect.
Just set that up to like a holster. It's like, here!
My home theater will have a fully stocked concession stand. All right, moving on. I think we've beaten... Okay, so internet security sucks because people are putting shit on the internet that shouldn't be on there and not protecting themselves from it. Great.
Nice. You just condensed
an entire fucking article into a single 10
seconds. Yes. The cliff notes?
Yeah, we spent 20 minutes on it. Yes!
Well, speaking of security, the next game, Hitman, the next installment of the Hitman series will be episodic, as Square Enix announced this week, and to which people asked, why? Now, for those who aren't knowledgeable in what this episodic means, is the game is released in chunks going
chapters
forth.
Or episodes, if you will.
Yes.
I came up with that
so
all by myself.
So the same as every other game that's been released in the last 3 years. It'll have DLC.
Pretty much. Only the DLC will not be tack-on content. It will be primary content that they just aren't ready to give you off the bat.
Yeah.
A lot of notable DLC or episodic games that have come out lately have been like The Walking Dead game and I think the new Game of Thrones game by the same company. You have different episodes. Usually it's through the perspective of different characters. But yeah.
And, well, it's kind of an odd move because from what I've seen in the Steam records that they have not or these games that are episodic have not had a very good retention rate. As in, there is drop-off between episodes of a decent amount. And I'm talking like from going like 99 to like 60 between episodes 1 and episode 2 and so on and so forth.
So that's a 30% drop.
Yeah. So why would you make something that you know, people will probably forget about by the time you have episode 2 or 3 or 4 out. You know, that's why people are wondering, why are you doing this?
When people are big on immersion, and when you start breaking a game up into chunks, you break that immersion after every chunk. And so people, like you said, will definitely lose interest rather quickly.
I said there was, and saying here that there will be a beta, and then there after that there will be the but the base game will only include two missions for buying the first game, which is the prologue and Paris. Italy will follow in April, Morocco in May, and further monthly content drops will bring Thailand, the US, and Japan before the end of 2016. So they're trying to make this an entire year thing.
Is the game going to be a subscription-based deal, or is it going to be a one-time purchase, or is it downloadable, purchasable DLC?
There's the Day 1 Intro Pack, which includes the prologue and Paris, which will cost $15, or apparently 11 euros and 99 cents. I guess that's how it works. After, you can choose to buy each additional chapter / location separately priced at $10 or 7 euros 99 cents, or to get the $50 season style upgrade pack for all other content, and that is also at 36.99 euros. And finally, you can still pay for the whole upfront cost at $60 or 44.99 euros. So there's an option there, I guess. That's nice, but...
Yeah, but if you buy the whole game up front, you still gotta wait all year to get all the content.
Yep, but, you know, be informed. Hey, it's what we do here.
That's right. I would recommend that if you're thinking about getting this game, to only buy the initial pack and see if it's even worth it, and then maybe decide if you want to buy the season pack for the rest of the stuff or drop it at that point, because... Spending $60 for something that you have to wait an entire year to get all the content of, and not knowing if you're going to like it or not, is questionable.
You know, it's an interesting way to do it, though, as much as I'm not normally in favor of it. I'm relieved to hear that they're not trying to pass this off as a standard AAA title. It's not a $60 release that you then have to buy the DLC for. They're recognizing, look, we're going to do this in parts, and we're not going to charge you the full AAA title price.
Well, there is an option for that.
There is, but that includes everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually,
and a year of waiting time.
Well, and you'll probably have, yes. And they'll probably have actual DLC for that as well, which then will not be covered in the price.
But I guess in that vein of things, though, I mean, it's dare I say, almost better that from an economic standpoint, right? I can buy the first two episodes for $15 and try them out. And if I don't like it, then I'm out $15 instead of $60. And if I do like it, I can buy the expanded content, and I'm out $60.
It's fantastic for the consumer. It's probably one of the worst business decisions for the developer. Because, like you just said, you can buy the introductory pack for $15 as opposed to $60 of what they would typically do and get all your money up front. If you end up not liking the introductory pack, you're not going to buy those additional, you know, locations, whether it's individually or in the bundle. But they're still got to make them. I don't say got to, but they're probably still going to make them, because some people will still want that, because some people will have paid the $60. Well, now they're making content for a small fraction of the market that, if they would have waited to release the game a year later and done all of them at once, could have got the full price for all the content up front, instead of releasing half of it for no profit at all.
You know what I see them doing after all the episodes are released?
Selling the whole thing at a reduced price.
Yeah, it's the Hitman Complete Bundle Edition.
Yep.
Of course they will.
Because they're going to try to recoup any costs accrued by doing all the episodes and not getting the initial $60 price point for it. Now it's questionable business practice for the developer. Great for the consumer. Us as the consumers benefit big time from it.
Could you imagine though that, like, if all or a lot of the AAAs went this way?
I would wait a year later for the game to be fully released and then decide if I wanted to buy it or not.
No, but still, it's that system of, like, trying to remember at what time, like, your game's episode would come out would be horrifying.
It would suck. But, like you said, from the immersion standpoint, if you play it for the first month and you're like, wow, I really like this. Okay, cool. I want more. Oh, well, you got to wait a month or two for the next pit. Well, you move on to another game, you're enamored with that, and you may never decide to come back to this. It may be the greatest game of all time, but because you don't have all of it in front of you at once to play, you've got to wait. The human brain naturally will gravitate over to the next best thing.
Yeah, so, and apparently there was a release from the either developer or...
Publisher,
thank you. It was not a decision we have taken lightly, and we fully acknowledge that this decision may frustrate some players. I've wrote a new post on the Hitman website. There is a link in the show notes if you want to go read that post. But it is a shift that we believe will ensure the best possible foundation for this game and future of Hitman.
Now, if they plan to continue this, though, in terms of you buy the base game and then... monthly or whatever DLC that goes on and on and on, and not just a 1 year deal, and they can really expand upon the world and the universe, now maybe you've got something. But if it's only a year contract and you're done after that, I question that decision making.
Now that continued, and that I think this will bring up a kind of an odd look we didn't give it to. If you read this out here, we will be able to respond faster to feedback, analyze player behavior, and implement changes on a regular basis. That simply wasn't possible before. We'll be able to craft a long story arc that spans multiple games, while at the same time crafting smaller arcs and stories that will find their conclusions within each game. Now, you ever think about that, though? I never really thought about, you know, how long does it take to get feedback for something in a game to get patched or changed or handled. But now with this kind of system, you know, people can say, I didn't like how these controlled at one particular point, you know, and they go, okay, so we can fix that, you know, in the next upcoming episodes, and we don't have to release a patch to handle it.
In a perfect world, all those items would be addressed in alpha and beta testing of the game.
Please, we know these game companies.
In a perfect world.
Okay, but I can see an opportunity here for them to use it as kind of a fan guidance.
Oh, sure.
I mean, and you could leave the story open-ended enough that you could take feedback from the fans as to where they wanted to see the next episode go.
Or the gameplay style.
That could become immersive.
That's true. If you build a strong community around it, it could work. I mean, early access games do that now, where the developers are constantly doing updates and they're getting fan feedback more on, you know, quality of life aspects of the game, and not necessarily story. But then again, the game that I'm, you know, referring to more is not a story-based game.
Right.
It's Sandbox. But every month, there's some degree of update being done by the developer to benefit the player base, whether it's quality of life or whether it's, you know, a drastic change to the way the general system is. And again, early access can do that because they're selling the games during development and they can get the feedback and implement. AAA titles don't typically do early access because they think they know best. Sometimes they do.
This is like a pseudo early access then, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is kind of a blending. You're taking a typical AAA studio and doing an early access style release where the fans get to have feedback into the game.
Completely agree. And if that's the case and they are taking fan feedback into account and not just waiting a month to release their next episode, then that could be a very strong benefit. The problem, though, when you get a community of people involved to make decisions on something,
oh god,
you rarely come up
by
to
committee.
That's right. You don't ever come up with the same conclusions. You got different people who want different things. You've got to then decide which one is more beneficial to the majority and make your decision on that, knowing you're going to piss some people off because you gave them the opportunity for an opinion and to voice it, and you chose to not go with it.
Well, and that's where you do, you know, a self-regulated, like a Reddit-style community where anybody can suggest and the community votes on what they like, and the majority, the popular, you know, naturally floats to the top.
Yeah, naturally gets upvoted, and then
yep.
And all the stuff that's like, yeah, no, gets downvoted. That's, yeah. And if that's the way they go, I mean, that sounds pretty awesome, you know? It sucks that you would have to wait, you know, throughout a year with monthly installments, but if that allows them to fix issues that you've had within the game and you don't have to wait for, well, you know, I don't know how many months for a friggin' patch update.
Sometimes never.
Or sometimes never, yeah. You know, no? they handle that. That's great.
If that's the approach they take, then that would be awesome. And you can only get your feet wet with $15 instead of $60.
Yep.
Yeah.
So big benefit there.
I think this has potential. It will be interesting to see how they approach it in the final version.
I agree. We've only got a few more minutes, so unless one of you guys has got something quick and dirty to throw in there, we need to think about saying our farewells.
Tom Clancy, The Division, is having an open beta very soon. Much also with the Hitman beta we were actually discussing. The Hitman beta will be beginning on February 12th. So, yeah, if you're interested in either the Tom Clancy's Division or the next Hitman game, both betas will be coming soon. You will need the Uplay feature for The Division. So, enjoy.
Fantastic. Brad, anything quick and dirty from you?
No.
Brad never has anything quick and dirty.
It's long and clean.
Long? Well, not necessarily clean, but we'll get to the end. It's just going to take a while there, baby. Hold on. It's going to be a ride. I don't even know where to take it from there.
On that note.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, listen, we do appreciate you listening to us and your feedback. So hit us up Twitter at Abundance Not. You can find Wade at AAONCWAL 599, as well as on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not, and on YouTube of all things. We do appreciate any attention you can give us there, facebook.com/abundance.not. There will be a link there for Wade's channel as well. And yeah, with that, we'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.